we're going to turn now back to the Lord Jesus through his word. And we're going to be turning to Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 32. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 32. The last half of this chapter is going to be talking about the prophecy in the book of Acts chapter 2 as well. Hear now the word of the Lord. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before, nor will be again after them, through the years of all generations. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses they run, as with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains. Like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them peoples are in anguish, all faces grow pale. Like warriors they charge, like soldiers they scale the wall. They march each on his way, they do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another, each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep and say, spare your people, O Lord. And make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. I will remove the northerner far from you, and drive him into a parched and desolate land, his vanguard into the eastern sea, and his rear guard into the western sea. The stench and foul smell of him will rise, for he has done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, your beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are great. The tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine give their full yield. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, and early and the latter rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust had eaten, the hopper and destroyer, the destroyer and the cutter, by the great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never again be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and the female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and the columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. You know, if you notice there, from about verse 28 on down, some of that is what we're going to be looking at here today. Some of that is what's pointing to this gift of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. So we're coming before the Lord here today in anticipation. And what's the anticipation? The anticipation is what we've been looking at in chapters 1 of the book of Acts. The gift of the Holy Spirit to the church to be anointed and to be called out and special and to be going out into the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what this anticipation is concerning. Remember in Acts 1:4, which said, "And while staying with them, he ordered them," the Lord ordered them, "not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So here we are, not many days from now, about 40. And they're about to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the Lord's word is true, the Lord's word is sure, and the Lord's word is going to come to fulfillment. And we're going to see prophecies that speak to that as well. So turn in your copy of God's word to Acts chapter 2. The sermon will be based on verses 1 through 24, but we'll read the entirety of the text because it's a good narrative to know the history here. Acts chapter 2. Hear the word of the Lord. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before that day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God in mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. And you yourselves know this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isn't this an amazing text? Talking about the early church being formed, like a church being formed here in Wichita Falls. Of course, we didn't see miracles like they're seeing here, but maybe we will see miracles here. We have the same Word of God. We have the same Holy Spirit working in our midst here today. Keep that in mind as we worship our Lord. as Nate already introduced earlier, this is the Holy Spirit. The title of the sermon is The Holy Spirit and Prophecy Fulfilled, because that's what we're seeing. The Holy Spirit is given. The prophecy is fulfilled. In verses 1 through 4, we're going to be looking at specifically the promise of the Holy Spirit. What? Coming true. It's coming true. Verse 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came to heaven a sound like what? A mighty rushing wind. A mighty rushing wind. The entire house were sitting. I want you to pay attention to that wind, because sometimes throughout the entire scriptures, the Holy Spirit has made him known with wind, with elements like a dove descending on the Lord Jesus Christ as his baptism. Flame of fire now behind the apostles here, and wind whirling around a room or around them. We see this in the Spirit of God in Genesis, breathing life into a man, which involves what? Wind, breath. Then the Lord formed the man of the dust and the ground and breathed into his nostrils what? The breath of life, and the man became a living creature. In John 1:32, I saw the Spirit descend like a from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. Ezekiel 1:4, this is a vision of the Spirit as well. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and great cloud and brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it was gleaming metal. The Spirit appears to us sometimes in elements and things around us that we're not used to seeing. We don't see this happen every day. So what's my point? Why am I bringing this up? This wind, this fire, and this dove, the baptism of Jesus. The Spirit of God just takes on different forms. It's miraculous. It's something that doesn't happen every day. It's special. The promise of Christ is coming true. And this gift of the Spirit, who is allowing them to what? Speak in different languages. Speak in different languages. Let's be clear that these are known languages and not unknown languages. Why do I mention this? Because there are many foolish and so-called followers of Christ in the Pentecostal church who say that talking gibberish, and they try to use this text to prove this, which it doesn't. It teaches against it. They call it their own private prayer language. And no one understands them but them. This is not what's going on here in our text today. And all those who claim this gift is still going on in the church today, well, they're lying to you. Call their foolishness out and point them to the text, read the scriptures, and say, this is what actually happened. Let's read verses 5 through 13. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. They're bewildered because each one was hearing him speak in what? His own language. They're amazed. They're astonished. Galileans speaking. People from Pergamum, Pamphylia, Egypt, and so forth. They're amazed and they're perplexed. They're amazed and perplexed, saying to one, what does this mean? What's going on? This has never happened before. But others are mocking, and they said, they're filled with wine. They're filled with wine. That's a phrase of an unbeliever. They're filled with wine. We don't believe miracles are happening here. So the multitude, it says in verse 6, came together and they're bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They're hearing others from other parts of the country. It'd be like someone from China speaking Mandarin, saying Iza, Beza, Ajuza. It's only three words I know in Mandarin. Table, chair, and cup. But the people, this miracle is happening. They're not talking about tables and chairs and cups, are they? They're talking about the things of the Lord. They're talking about the mighty works of God. They are, according to verse 11, we're hearing about the mighty works of God. Imagine it's a crowd of devout men from all these different areas. They are living in what? Jerusalem. They're hearing men that they may know that lived in their community, but they never spoke to them because they speak a different language. They don't understand each other. I don't speak Spanish, and my neighbor Juan, he only speaks broken English, and our conversation is very limited. How's it going? Hi. But if I was here in Jerusalem at this point in history, I'd be hearing Juan speak perfect English. Perfect English. And he'd hear me speaking perfect Spanish. But all these men are from different nations. Galileans, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergamum, Pamphylia, Egypt, and Libya. Visitors from Rome. The ones who crucified our Lord. Jews and new believers in Christ. That's what a proselyte is, a new believer. Cretans and Arabians. And they're all bewildered. They're all confused. Or just can't believe what's happening in the midst of them. Even though, well, hopefully the disciples weren't surprised. It doesn't say the disciples were surprised. They were already told by the Lord this was going to happen. That they were going to receive the Spirit. They didn't know what it was going to look like. But this is a pretty amazing feat. They didn't know that this language, they were going to hear other people speaking another language. And they're all going to be talking about what? The things of God. The things of God. They're hearing the gospel. They're hearing the mighty works of God. The fact that Christ died on a cross for sinners. It was his mighty work. And they're bewildered. Why is this? Why are they bewildered? Are they afraid of the truth that's being proclaimed and what Christ has done? Maybe they're feeling guilt. The Romans there and the Jews there, maybe they're feeling guilt of what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those Jews and those Romans who crucified him. The ones who said, "Let Barabbas go, but crucify our Lord." They're devout men. They're living in Jerusalem, according to our text, when this is happening. Many speculate that this event in Pentecost is happening at the anniversary of giving the law on Mount Sinai. This is speculation, according to rabbinic tradition, which was another miraculous work of God, right? When the law was given to the people of God in Exodus 20, 18 through 21, which reads, "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were what? They were afraid and trembled and stood afar off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we'll listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin.' The people stood afar off while Moses drew near to the thickness of God, darkness where God was." Maybe it's that kind of fear that's coming upon them about the presence of God. When the presence of the Lord comes before people, people loose their sandals. They get down on the ground. The fear comes upon them. We have the Spirit of the living God encircling these people and performing a miracle in us mere flesh. That's usually our reaction, to be fearful and wondering what's going on. We can see in both of these instances God condescending to men. The people being perplexed and bewildered and afraid. And God is communicating his truth to the people of God and all who were at this event. And what is the response of the people in Acts 2, according to verse 12? Everyone was amazed. Everyone was perplexed. Everyone was talking to one another. What does this mean? What's going on? And you'd have the same response if you were there today, if this was happening in the church here this morning. I'd say, "What's going on, brother and sister? What's going on? I don't know. Let's figure this out." Some men marvel at the mighty acts of God, and some men scoff, as we see in our text. They blow these things off. They say, "There's got to be a logical explanation for this. This isn't mighty acts of God." But the others mocking said, what did they say? They said they were filled with wine. They said they were drunk. Unbelievers do what unbelievers always will do. They'll deny the truth, and they'll make up any illogical excuse to justify it. They mock the things of God. And even if someone perform a miracle from heaven, they won't believe it because they can't believe it. They cannot believe it. God has hidden the truth from some and revealed it by his grace to others. And what does Peter do? What all good preachers do. He rebukes those who mock the things of God and points them to the scripture for the fulfillment of prophecy and the hope of the gospel. The fulfillment of prophecy and the hope of the gospel. Verses 14 through 21 speaks about the prophecy of Joel. This is where Peter points them to. Peter, standing with the 11, he lifted up his voice and he addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known. Give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour. But this is what was uttered by the prophet Joel. Peter starts with a large logical argument. It's only 9 a.m. Who drinks at 9 a.m.? I know some that are drunk might, but usually it's what? In the evening time, when people are socializing and drinking. In the morning, they're usually sleeping it off. He says, logically, they're not drunk. It's 9 a.m. And if you still think they're drunk, it's not so. It's the work of God. It's what Christ promised here in the book of Joel. Verse 17 through 21, and in the last days it shall be that God declares that I will pour out my spirit in all my flesh. This is happening. And your sons and daughters are prophesying. They're speaking in different languages. And your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male and female servants. In those days I'll pour out my spirit and they're going to prophesy. They're going to be speaking about the things of God. That's what's happening. And I'll show wonders in heaven and above and signs on the earth below, cloven fires, tongues landing on their right behind them, winds gusting, blood and fire. I'm sure the firing flames, maybe there was smoke coming out of them. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. That doesn't say this in our text, but before the day of the Lord comes, the great magnificent day. This might be talking about the end of the all things as well, this prophecy. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. If God has called you to himself, you will call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Despite of your view on eschatology and the study of all things, the end of things, whether you're a post-millennialist, an all-millennialist, and I would hope you're not a pre-millennialist, Peter is telling the crowd here that what Joel prophesied is currently happening. It's currently happening. And Joel said that this would happen in the last days. So during this miracle of the Holy Spirit descending on them, they're speaking and hearing what? These different languages. They're proclaiming the things of God to each other. Men and women are proclaiming the things of God according to this prophecy. It's coming true. And what's true regarding Joel 1:21 and Moses' day? It's true in Peter's day. And it's true in our day today as well. When verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can a man who is separated from God by his sin be saved? Peter proclaims in verses 22 through 24 the gospel. Verse 22, when men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wondrous signs that God did through you in his midst, as yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. This was the plan of God. You crucified and killed him by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God could not be held by the pains of death because what? He was paying for our sins, not his own sins. And he ascended, like in the prophecy here, to the right hand of God the Father. So what was Peter just proclaimed? He proclaimed that Jesus is willing to give himself up according to the foreknowledge of God, the definite plan of God. You know the man who you crucified and killed by your bloodthirsty and lawless hands. That's what he's saying to these men. God raised him up. Death couldn't hold him. He couldn't be held because he was innocent. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. For your sinful deeds. Even the deeds you did when you killed him. That's what he's proclaiming to them. And what do you have to be perplexed about? What are you worried about? The only thing that should worry these men or us today is if we don't believe in this crucified Christ and what has happened to him. And if we don't believe Christ has risen and sits at the right hand of God the Father, if you obey God through what Joel said, you have nothing to worry about, right? Because Joel said, if it'll come to pass that anybody who calls on the name of the Lord, you wouldn't call on the name of the Lord. As unbeliever, when you were an unbeliever, if you were never an unbeliever, I was an unbeliever before I was converted to Christ. I wouldn't have called on the Lord unless the Lord called me. He woke up my sin-darkened heart. Praise be to God. He says, they will be saved. Don't shrug off the message of the gospel. Don't believe some of it and leave other parts of it out. Believe it all and call on the name of the Lord. These men are not drunk. These men didn't make this up. And we truly have a God who calls all men everywhere to repent of their sins and call on this God-man, Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity. And what happens? We'll go into this in more detail in the future, but the narrative goes on. The prophecy of David comes true. I saw the Lord always before me, and for at his right hand I'll not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. Verses 37 through 40. And when we have this miraculous work of the Spirit of God, all those who believed, what was it? 3,000. 3,000 people were called to the Lord Jesus Christ through this miraculous word. Through the people of God, through the Spirit of God, telling the message of God and the message of the gospel, the message of the cross, and what was going on. Through a message from Joel that happened thousands of years earlier, who is becoming fulfilled here in their midst. And it was written down in Scripture for us today to see this overview, this beautiful overview. Verse 37, and when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, the rest of the apostles' brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and this is for our children as well, isn't it? Our children, and for all who are afar off, everyone who the Lord is going to call to himself, people in Wichita Falls, people in Waco, people in Fort Worth, all who the Lord calls will become members of the church. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received this word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls. Peter instructed them to do certain things. Repent. Be baptized. Holy Spirit was given to them. And were exhorted by the Word of God continually by the church in our homes and our families. When we're reading the Word of God, the Spirit gives you mind to these things, understanding to these things. The promises for your children, your neighbors, all those around. Let us see the day. And let's pray for the day when there be 3,000 souls that are added to the church in Wichita Falls. Let us pray to that end. And when we tell our children about this, this is our history. This is our history. And the Spirit of God will continue these miraculous works here in Wichita Falls at Livingstone Church, a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Let us pray to that end. Let's pray. Father, I pray that today your people have heard you speak to them this morning. Help us to apply this in our walk with you. Help us to build us up in the faith and to understand more about the miraculous works of God. Help us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to show love of Christ to others in sharing your word and your gospel and your call to salvation. Help us to invite them to church. Help us to invite our lost family members to hear the words of life. Help us to be a witness for you, Lord, here in Wichita Falls. Help us to be good disciples. Help us to have comfort and knowledge that we will live forever with you. Help us to look forward to that day when you will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord." We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.